Welcome to another episode of Startup Health Now, the weekly show celebrating the healthcare transformers and change makers who are reimagining healthcare. My name is Stephen Krine.
I'm Unity Stokes.
And today we're with Blaine Tomlinson, the CEO of Walkjoy, not only a startup health company, but someone who is transforming patients with neuropathy and how they will be able to walk better quickly by using Walkjoy. This is going to be a great episode.
Stick around.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. But I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, courage. The future is to those who take it.
Welcome back to Startup Path Now. We're sitting here with Blaine Tomlinson, the CEO of Walkjoy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
It's great to be with you. So tell us the story behind Walkjoy. Tell us how you started the company, and I know there's a lot of great background around the story behind what you're creating.
Well, my late mother-in-law, Joy, had peripheral neuropathy. And as you might know, there's about 25 million people in the U.S. that have peripheral neuropathy, and about 320 million people worldwide. And what happens is that these patients become chronic fallers. They lose all the feeling in their feet. So they become chronic fallers, and they develop major foot ulcers, which is the leading cause of lower limb amputation. And my mother-in-law, late mother-in-law, her name was Joy. So when we first started the company, it was called Sensory Augmentation Corporation, which is a horrible name. So, and everybody kept telling me, that's a horrible name, it's a horrible name.
And then when was this? How many years ago?
2010.
Okay.
And then my mother-in-law was in a clinical trial at Cedars, Edwards Life Sciences, that goes through the femoral. Mm-hmm. Well, she was the first patient that they lost in the clinical trial. Patient 144. So, but the procedure worked, but there was just a mishap. And so at that moment, I changed the name to Walkjoy, and it worked.
And what causes peripheral neuropathy with your mother-in-law? Because I think it's, first of all, great that you're carrying on her honor with the name of the company. But
right.
What causes it, and what does it really mean to have
there's,
it?
There's about three different primary types. About a third of the patients are diabetic. The other third is chemotherapy and autoimmune deficiencies. And then the rest are idiopathic, meaning we don't know why it happens. It just happens, like Lou Gehrig's disease. We know what it is. We just don't know why it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So most of the patients that we treat are diabetic.
So you've created this just amazing solution for people who have this. Tell us about it and tell us what Walkjoy does.
It's actually pretty simple. It's so simple. It's elegant. Basically, it's about the size. I should have brought one, but it's about the size of a business card, and it fits right on the tibia crest, just below the knee, on where the healthy nerves are. And what happens is they lose what's called proprioception. They don't know where their limbs are in space. So based on the algorithms, as soon as their heel hits the ground, those actuators go off, and it triggers the Purkinje corpuscles. They're a very sensitive nerve organelle. And that sends a signal to the brain and tells them immediately where their foot is in space. So that, and their motor system's intact. They just need that secondary signal. And once they get that signal, they just start to walk normal again. I had one patient, it was about a week ago. He's had neuropathy for about 15 years. Using a walker for about the last 10 years, and he called me last week and said, he said, Blaine, I don't have to use my walker anymore. I'm walking normal again.
That's crazy,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so how, because I mean, the devices go around each leg.
Right.
And
it's usually biphasic. Neuropathy is usually biphasic, 95% of the time.
So what's happening when they put on the device, and how quickly does it actually take to work?
It can take about 20 to 50 steps, and then you'll start to see them. They have like a shuffle or a stomp walk because they're trying to get some feedback, But then they put them on, and they'll take about 20 steps, and you'll start to see them take a more natural heel to toe rock, and they and it just starts.
So 50 steps.
You 20, 20 to 50 steps, and it doesn't work on everybody. We have about an 80% efficacy rate, so some people it doesn't work on.
What I find so amazing about this, you know, you hear about wearables today, you hear about sensors today in healthcare, and most people, or a lot of people sort of say, oh, it's what quantified sulfurs do or fitness buffs do, but you look at a real world sort of solution like this and how sensors and wearable technology is really going to a whole nother level because of companies like WalkJoy. I just think it's a new perspective on what's really happening with health innovation today.
Right.
Yeah, and so rolling right into, do the devices connect to the cloud, and how do they connect maybe to mobile or the cloud, and actually how does the data collection layer on top of this? Because I know that's part of the plan and part of what you've got here, because it's not just something that's signaling the brain for each individual, but something that...
Right, exactly. Well, what happened once we developed it with all the algorithms and the way that it works, when it has to fire at an exact certain time in their gait, we realized that we had a gait assessment tool. So we have a second product called Walking Health. And so what we're doing is we're measuring velocity or speed, stride time variability, and range of motion. And so we give that data. It's in the cloud. Both devices capture that information. And then a physician can look at those three numbers and make a clinical decision in 5 seconds. So we're using them in independent living facilities, assisted living facilities. We can actually predict if somebody's at risk of falling before they fall. If their stride time variability gets up to about 9 or 12%, that patient will eventually fall. So in the independent and assisted livings and therapy situations, if they're at 6%, 1 month, then the next month they're at 8%, then the next month they're at 9%. It's like, let's do something proactive so we can bring that number back down and reduce falls before they fall.
Amazing. So shifting gears a little, tell us about your journey as an entrepreneur. how did you get started? What made you want to become an entrepreneur in the first place in healthcare?
Oh boy, that's a good question. I've always been interested in healthcare. And I was working as a consultant with DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Programs Agency, and I met all these great entrepreneurs, and it just sticks to you when you meet guys like yourselves. I don't think there's anything else I'd want to do.
Was there a moment where you just sort of clicked for you, where you knew you wanted to build something?
Yes. I used to run an innovation center for the St. Joseph Healthcare System, and I was always working with startup guys, trying to help them roll out in this healthcare system. And I was at a conference, and this guy came up with this great idea, and I said, okay, look, I'm doing it. A good friend of mine, Augie Nieto, he has ALS. He kind of mentored me into, I talked to him about it and talked to him about it. He goes, you just have to do it.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. Great book.
Oh, yeah.
He has two books. I read one of his books.
Reciprocity?
Yeah. No, the other one.
Augie's Quest.
Yeah, Augie's Quest. What an inspiring story. Amazing. He's a fellow YPOer.
Right, right.
So I'm sorry, keep going, because I think it's fascinating. So how long, this is your first company.
Well, I founded another company before this. It was in the EMS environment. But what we did is we gave AEDs, automatic external defibrillator products, a breathing component. So there was a turbine in there, and you put the mask on it to do the breathing. But the American Heart Association changed the protocols on CPR, and it basically took away our market.
Wow. Hard lesson number one as an entrepreneur.
So the biggest lesson that I live by is that make your mistakes fast.
Yeah.
And then change.
So how long was that company around?
About 3 years.
Okay. So you started WalkJoy, and what are the last few years been like as an entrepreneur? Not about your company, just as an entrepreneur. Some of the big challenges that you've faced and how you're navigating through them.
I think one of the biggest challenges, well, it's not really a challenge, but I think the most important thing is you have to surround yourself with a great board, and you have to listen to them. And you can't get your ego involved. Yep. If I have a great idea and it's not working, you have to take your ego out of the game. Is what I would say.
And so you're saying be coachable. It's one of the number one things that startup help we talk about is the need to be a coachable entrepreneur. So
right.
And so how has that helped you navigate through? What have been some of the things you've had to listen to along the way?
Well, one of the things is basically when we first started, we were just a widget company. We were just going to sell product, just like any other device company. But then we realized we did have that back end data. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done is we kind of switched the business model upside down. Instead of selling the walking health as here's a product you can have, we sell it at a lower price point, but we give them a monthly subscription. So we get that. We turned it into more of a service company rather than a widget company.
It's so interesting that you start one place, but your company really evolves over time. And I think a lot of people assume that you just got to know everything right at day one. But no. Really the process is much different.
Yeah, well, we've made a lot of mistakes. Our first target market was podiatry. We thought that we could kill that market, but it just wasn't clicking. And so what we also have done, I mean, there's a reason why you on TV you see pharma ads all the time, because consumer-driven healthcare works. So that's how we're building the company is we've have a couple different programs where we recruit patients to use the device, and then they actually back it in to the physician. So we're introducing.
So you're selling direct to you sell to the consumer or market to the consumer.
We market to the consumer.
They go to their doctor.
And because it is prescription driven.
Sure.
So it has to go through a physician. So what they do is they say, look, I've got this really cool device. Will you write me a prescription for it? And they're like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And then they demonstrate it to the doc, and then the doctor gets it. But trying to go at the doctor, if they're not trained to use something like that,
you're not in the workflow.
You're not in the workflow.
So take us out a few years with WalkJoy. Tell us where it goes, where things go. It sounds like there's one challenge there, and not enough doctors are educated on this solution. Mm-hmm. Patients are still learning about it. Walk us out a couple of years
one of the things that we're doing, is putting together a bunch of CEU courses. So we
can explain that with CEU.
Continuing education units. So we're actually going out and training residents and students, physical therapy students,
the next generation.
Yep. So to get it into their way of thinking earlier. We're in Fraser Rehab and Nazareth Homes, and they're both doing studies with the device, clinical trials on Parkinson's, on MS, and other diseases. So we think, actually, we've done anecdotal work with Parkinson's, and we've seen good results, but we may have to change the frequency and things like that. But it has worked anecdotally. And that's why they're doing clinical trials on it now.
So let's talk about the data piece for a second, because I think as you talk about the future, I think one of the things we've been incredibly excited to see that you've been able to do is get data behind the results of patients using WalkJoy. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about how important that is and how important it's been as you've been building this business to not just be selling, but getting data behind it to get new customers, get more people using it?
Well, it's actually critical to our business model. It's the reason why physical therapy is using it and why Signature Healthcare is using it, because CMS comes in and they do RAC audits. And if you don't have functional outcome data to justify the therapy, they take that money back. And so we're giving them objective functional outcome data. So it justifies the therapy. And there's CPT codes attached to that. If you don't have the data, though, it doesn't justify the reimbursement. So without that data, we wouldn't add much value.
So who'd you bring on? How'd you build your team, or how'd you kind of approach this notion of it's part of the business? Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs build startups or start to build startups in this space and recognize early that they have to have a data strategy and a validation strategy and have a team member responsible for it. What's your team look like, and kind of how have you
Well, like I said, we stumbled across the Walking Health aspect. We weren't focused on the data. We were just focused on helping neuropathy patients walk again. And then one of the guys that was helping us build the algorithm, Michael Haig, he's a programmer and has a small company. And he said, look, this data is very important.
Gold, yeah.
And so that's when we shifted. We were putting all of our money into Walk Joy. And then we said, well, wait a second. This might be a bigger play. So we actually stopped production on Walk Joy and developed Walking Health. And we thought that Walking Health would be able to drive our revenue faster to then build Walk Joy better. So it's like making a decision fast.
So what are you most excited about today? You've been an entrepreneur now for a few years, and you're building this amazing company. What keeps you going?
Phone calls like I had last week from that gentleman in Sarasota. I can walk.
Yeah.
And there's another guy, a friend of ours. He's about 82.
By the way, are you doing anything to get those stories out, or how are you getting those stories out?
Because putting them on the website. We've got videos, and we're actually going to build more testimonial videos.
Those are amazing stories.
We talk about transforming healthcare, yeah. And when you hear those stories, I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Right.
Helping people with yeah. real problems.
Right. our friend, he's in South Carolina. He's a rancher. So he's you're not going to get him to stop walking his fence.
Right.
But he would fall constantly and had sores on his legs because he's diabetic. And those sores takes a while to heal. But he's had the devices since last Thanksgiving. He hasn't fallen once. And he used to fall
fantastic.
Weekly. So that's powerful to me. That's what drives me.
So what's your advice to entrepreneurs today tackling the challenge in healthcare? I think entrepreneurs inside this sector have very, very unique challenges than right. any other sector, you know, puts in front of entrepreneurs. What's some of the things you tell entrepreneurs today, whether they're either considering becoming an entrepreneur or they're in the thick of it, slogging through it?
Right. Well, I think, like, I agree with you. I think healthcare is one of the most complicated industries we could be in. So if you want to get into healthcare, get ready for a beating, mm-hmm. because we still don't know where it's going and that. But
Isn't that exciting, though?
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting. But I think for me, what I would tell any entrepreneur is that you have to trust your gut. I'm a gut player. But you have to then back it up with evidence. And if the evidence doesn't, you can trust your gut, but if the evidence and the data doesn't back it up, then you have to rethink and go in a different direction.
You know, another thing, I know you're a big community guy. You're a healthcare transformer. You're one of the most active in the ecosystem. We always hear great things about you. Talk about the importance of a peer network to you as you're building your business.
Oh, I think it's one of the most important aspects of what we're doing. If you try to do it alone, you might not succeed. It's easier to grow as a community because we all have each other's back. You might know somebody that I don't know, and Steve might know somebody that you don't know, but by talking it out, then you make those connections. So I've always been a collaborator, and I firmly believe in that. And Steve's, you guys are the same way.
Yeah.
So I think if you have to give things out to help move forward. Who was that that said, if you want to travel quickly, go alone. If you want to travel far,
go together.
Go as a team.
Yeah.
So who was that? Remember that?
No.
Okay.
I've heard it before, and we'll do that research and tweet it.
Yeah,
out.
It's an African yeah. saying, but it's true.
It is. And on a final note, love to find out one word from you that you'd use to represent how you're feeling right now. We just finished 2 days of our Healthcare Transformer Summit. We're here at the Cleveland Clinic finishing up their summit.
Only one word?
One word.
Boy, humble. Yeah. I mean, you meet so many great people, and you feel like you're going out and you're accomplishing all these great things, and then you meet somebody else that's doing something even bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
Inspiring, right?
Yeah. It's like Kurt.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's amazing.
He's killing it.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that's most special about our you know, community of healthcare transformers is that everyone's at different stages doing different things, but everyone's inspiring for, you know, people in front of them, behind them, next to them, and others watching them.
And it's just fun to be around so many entrepreneurs together, all doing it.
I wouldn't want to hang out with anybody else other than fly fishermen. Yeah,
pretty cool.
Fly fishermen who are entrepreneurs.
Yep. There's a lot of them.
Yes. Blaine, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for so much for being such an active member of the community, for doing what you're doing, a very important company to be building. And we know it's not easy, but it's important. So very meaningful. Thank you. And thank you for listening to another episode of Startup Health Now. You can find all episodes of Startup Health Now at startuphealth.com/now. Blaine, thanks for hanging out.
Thank you.